The very core, the very heart of the gospel is the proclamation that Jesus Christ has died, is risen, and will come again. The passion, the death, the resurrection of Christ, and looking forward to his coming is what makes us as Christians realize the depth of our faith, that with Christ we die, with Christ we rise, and in expectation of his coming we live the life that he has given us by his death and resurrection. All of this fulfills the entirety of the Old Testament. All the prophets, the laws, the rituals of the Old Testament, all of these things point to Christ. And as the Israelite people, the Jewish people, were one in their heart, their mind, their belief in God and with one another, so it is that Christ brings us together as one. As the book of Revelation says, Jesus draws all people from the corners of the earth together to be one body with him, from all nations and races and languages. That unity of the church is destroyed by sin. Sin comes from disbelief or unbelief. We don't really do believe in God. We don't believe in punishment, or we believe more in ourselves, temptation than God. We cause division. The source of that is human pride and human envy, which divides us from God and us from one another and destroys the unity and integrity of the entire church. We are called to be one. We are one flock under one shepherd, what Jesus prayed for. He being that good shepherd, we the flock, and all those who hear his voice are drawn to union with God the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit that he gives us. The month of May traditionally has been dedicated as a month of the Virgin Mary, so it's no coincidence that we celebrate Mother's Day in the month of May, as Mary becomes the great model of all Christian wives and Christian mothers. Mary herself is a faithful daughter of Israel. She is faithful to the law and the prophets. She worshiped according to the rites of the Jewish law. And Mary herself represents the old covenant in whom and from whom the new covenant emerges. That is, the union of God and man in Jesus himself, the eternal Word who takes flesh from her and does so in the fullness of time. When St. Paul uses that phrase, in the fullness of time, he means that this is now the time of fulfillment, the fulfillment of the promise when eternity enters into time, when God, who is boundless by time, comes into our own world in the person of Jesus, the Son of God, who becomes Son of Man. With this, Mary is the only first-hand witness to the entirety of the life of Jesus Christ. She's a witness to everything. She's obviously there at the Annunciation and the Incarnation. She gives him birth. She's with him during his hidden life in Nazareth. She's with him periodically, we see, during his ministry. She's present at his death. She's a witness to his resurrection. She's a witness to the ascension. And she was with the apostles and the early disciples in the upper room at Pentecost when the church was born by the Holy Spirit. Mary then becomes a living gospel in her own person. Everything about Mary is a proclamation of Jesus Christ. As she says in the Magnificat, God, who is mighty, has done great things for me. And God certainly has done great things for her, in her, and through her. And for that reason, all generations from the Annunciation until now have called her most blessed among women. Mary constantly calls you and me, the flock of the Good Shepherd, back to faithfulness and to union with him, with a very simple yet very powerful command, as she said at Cana, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever Christ tells you. As the power of the Holy Spirit overshadows Mary, we too are purified, we're enlightened, and we're energized by the Spirit that's been poured out on us in baptism and confirmation. You and I have been remade in Christ's image as Christ Jesus comes to dwell in our hearts spiritually by the Holy Spirit, drawing us into union with himself and bringing the church as one, Christ's presence in us, his body. That same Spirit comes down from heaven to transform bread and wine into the real and substantial presence of Christ in the Eucharist, so that Christ may physically nourish us, his flesh being real food, his blood being real drink. Jesus' flesh and blood becomes our flesh, our blood. His body, his blood, his soul, divinity, becomes our body, our blood, our soul, our divinity. Our lives, ourselves, become his life and his self. And thus, you and I bring Jesus into the world in the way that Mary did. With this, brothers and sisters, as Christians, you and I are to do all that He commands us to do. And we are to encourage others to do likewise. We encourage others to refrain from everything that He commands us not to do. Those acts which divide us from Him, and those acts which divide us from one another. Those sins which do not bring life and peace, but instead destroy life and peace through division. Again, we look at Mary. Mary is the instrument of the union of Christ to the world. It was in her and through her that Jesus became flesh. We too must be united in heart and in mind to Christ and to one another to be His presence in the world, uniting all humanity together. We do this by our mutual respect for one another, our fraternal love, our forgiveness, reconciliation, and of course, working for peace. We respect human life. We restore human dignity. We're here to repair human degradation, which is the result of man's rebellion against God, and we do this through faith, through hope, and through love. Always grace over sin. And looking at Mary, I see her as a great model for all Catholic women. Catholic women as wives, as mothers, as widows, as grandmothers, as single persons, all Catholic women have a great and unique role to play in the body of the Church, imitating Mary as the handmaid of the Lord. They do this in their physical design as bearers and sustainers of life. They do this with their mental, spiritual, and emotional gifts, being able to see all the details, being sensitive in heart and in mind, with hearts and minds that sharply feel the joys and pain of others. Women have a natural care for the weak, the poor, and the vulnerable. God gave women a desire to care for, to love, and to nurture with a long-standing and far-reaching memory, even for the littlest things. Their feminine genius, given to them by God in body, mind, and soul, is a great gift from the Creator who made Eve as a helpmate to Adam, to share life, to share love, and to share joy in paradise in a union of mind, heart, soul, and body. And Mary did that. Mary served in that capacity as the new Eve to Christ, the new Adam, in a mystical, spiritual way, and also physically by giving Him her flesh. We, the bride of Christ, the Church, do the very same. Wives and mothers offer their minds, their hearts, their souls, and bodies to their husbands, secondly, to their children, thirdly, but to God, first of all, that He may work in them and through them for the good of others. And we pray that the same may happen to us as we give God everything, that He may work in and through us for the good of one another. As we develop our love for Christ, our acceptance of God's will, our gratitude for our creation, male and female, our respect, our love for, and our openness to life, our obedience to His commands, our living in grace. This, brothers and sisters, is what it means to be one flock. One flock hearing Him, the Good Shepherd, listening to His voice and following Him wholeheartedly into eternity. May we never turn from seeking unity with Christ. Work hard to safeguard the sanctity of marriage, the dignity of the human person, male and female, made in God's image. May we all live in our roles as sons and daughters of God, brothers and sisters of Christ, with that inherent value of every human life given to us by God from conception to natural death. This brings about unity and growth in the Church. As the Psalm tells us, know that the Lord is God. He made us, His we are. We are His people, the flock He tends. Be filled with His Holy Spirit and with the joy that comes from that Spirit.